9:28, time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayad, Hafidhahullah wa Ra'an. Alhamdulillah, today we have Mufti Zubair a little bit earlier than usual. That's also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And talking about blessings, we are going to be discussing about water crisis. Although last week we started off with our youth focus, and Mufti Zubair spoke about some of the challenges that's facing our youth. He spoke about apostasy, and then spoke about the different groups, the deviant sects that are found today. And then lastly, we ended off with extremism. However, we are just going to halt that discussion for today, and we are going to go and focus on the water crisis, as Mufti Saab feels it's appropriate at this moment to touch on that, because it is relevant. So inshallah, for this week, we'll go on the water crisis, and then next week we'll continue with our focus on the youth, inshallah. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you doing, Mufti Saab?
All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very well, Mawlana, and your good self.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, do you perhaps have the receiver on in the background or something?
Yeah, Mawlana, I'm sorry about that. I know I should have been knowing better about that. But, yeah, I'm going to attend to that immediately, inshallah.
No problem, Mufti Saab.
I think it's in one of the... Okay, let me just put that right, inshallah. How are you keeping? How are you doing, man?
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab, and talking about Salat al-Istisqa, this weekend we had one performed there at the Malaysia Eidgah. A very good turnout, alhamdulillah, people came in their numbers. It was performed by Mawlana Suleiman Choksi, the Ustad of Darul Um Zakaria, who is currently teaching Muslim Sharif and also Hidayah, and also Ustad of Jalalain. Mawlana?
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Mawlana. You know, I was so pleased when I saw the notices going out about the number of places in which they read the Salatul Istisqa in the entire Gauteng area and Eastern Transvaal, Northern Province, Limpopo, and Northwest. In other words, the whole old Transvaal area. I saw many venues. From what I recall, I think there were maybe about 26 or more, even maybe 30 venues where the community got together and they read the Salatul Istisqa.
Yes, indeed.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Salatul Istisqa of the community, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the much needed rain that all of us in this country, across the length and breadth of this country, we require.
Ameen.
That great blessing of Allah. May Allah ta'ala bless us with that rain.
Ameen. Mufti Saab, maybe we can start off with the topic today, inshallah.
So today, inshallah, we, as we said, that, you know, we are discussing the subject of droughts and what is it that causes the drought and why is rain withheld and what is the remedy, how we fix the problem, and how also at the same time we should be preserving water. And at the same time, how we can play a part in alleviating the suffering of the people around us.
Mm.
This is very, very important. So, first of all, let us start with the subject of droughts. And what is it that causes the drought? Why are we deprived of essentially Allah's mercy? The rain is Allah's rahmat. It is a mercy of Allah. You know, we normally refer to the rain is rahmat. People say rahmat is coming down from the sky. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
In fact, on a lighter note, there was a very humorous person, a learned person, humorous person who was known as Mullah Dopiaza.
Mm.
Normally, you know, a lot of jokes are attributed to Mullah Dopiaza. So once Mullah Dopiaza saw somebody running when it was raining. So Mullah Dopiaza told him, "Bhai, you are a foolish man. Why are you running away from Allah's rahmat and mercy? This is the rahmat of Allah coming down and you running away from Allah's mercy? So the poor man started walking slowly, and he was drenched and soaked in the rain. And Mullah Dopiyaza had a good chuckle when he saw this fellow completely wet. Now, it so happened the next day, Mullah Dopiyaza was walking somewhere, and it started raining. And by coincidence, the same person was somewhere there. He saw Mullah Dopiyaza running, and he said, "Hey, Mullah Ji, why are you running? This is the Rahmat of Allah. Don't run away from the Rahmat of Allah." Mullah Dopiyaza replied, he said, "Brother, it's not good to tramp on Allah's Rahmat and mercy. That's why you see me running away. Don't trample on Allah's Rahmat." So that was Mullah Dopiyaza. He had an answer for everything. But that was on a lighter note, Maulana. The reality of the matter is rain is a Rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the drought is deprivation of Allah's Rahmat. We have been deprived of Allah's Rahmat. So we have to seek the reason why. Why is the Rahmat of Allah being withheld? So there are several explanations and reasons that have been mentioned directly from Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. So let us try and look at those reasons. And the idea is we should rectify those wrongs. We should try to reform those mistakes and put good those mistakes, rectify it, so that we are not deprived of rain because of these reasons. Sometimes it could be just a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is deprived of rain, our community is deprived of rain, but obviously in most instances it is because of not because of a test, because we are way too weak to undergo a test. That was in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with perhaps the Sahaba, that when they had droughts, then it could be said that it was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and it was also to teach the ummah to come the lessons, what to do when faced by a drought condition. So yes, there were drought-like conditions in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already, and in the time of the Sahaba, the Khulafa'i Rashidin, we know clearly that there was a drought in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then how he went about seeking the rain. And there's a famous narration. As I said, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it happened. And it really happened there as a test, and more to teach the ummah what to do at a time like that. So indeed, we are in a similar situation today. We are gripped by a drought. According to the weather, the experts and so on, they are saying that this is the worst drought this country has witnessed in the last 23 years. And most of the country is very much affected by these droughts. There's very little water left in the dams. It's a crisis situation. And everybody is deeply, deeply worried and concerned about the situation. Naturally, we Muslims, as citizens of this country, we also express the same concern and worry about the situation. And we have the answers, so we should implement those answers so that it will bring relief not only to us, but inshallah, to all the people of this land and this country.
Inshallah.
So first factor that comes narrated in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a very broad-based reason, but it is indeed perhaps the most central reason why we are deprived of rain, and for that matter many, many other blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because of sin and transgression. The hadith of Musnad Imam Ahmad, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Innal abda la yuhramu rizq bi zambi yusibu." A servant of Allah is deprived of his sustenance because of sins that he commits. So the sustenance of the whole of the country is dependent on the rainfall, the plants, the crops all grow because of the rains. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is withholding that rain, and the central reason is because of sin and transgression. All the various forms of sin and transgression are collectively contributing to the withholding of the rain. And the answer to that is istighfar and tawbah. This is the reason why over and over the ulama are harping on the importance of making istighfar and tawbah. Alhamdulillah, wherever I've been holding programs and so on, Maulana, I have exhorting all whoever are around, Allah give me tawfiq to make amal also, that our constant zikr and wazifa in these times should be istighfar. We should all be reading plenty of istighfar, young and old, male and female, our children, all should be reading plenty of istighfar, because istighfar has got the power of pulling down the mercy of Allah and, achieving the pleasure and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we have displeased Him. I was very pleased that I heard now, just in the last few days, that Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib, Dawud Barakatuhum, from the Raiwin Markaz, also sent a very special message to the Muslims of South Africa that they should engage in abundant istighfar. And not only to the Muslims of South Africa, but this is the universal message. He says this is a message for the Muslims of every part of the world, that right now the most important wazifa or zikr that everybody should engage in is istighfar. So yes, there are people, alhamdulillah, who are in the habit of making other forms of zikr. They're very regular on such azkar that they all the time reading those zikr. But right now, after our specific tasbihat that we do, the balance of the time should be spent in reading a lot of istighfar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer in the Holy Quran for droughts coupled with istighfar. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he mentioned in Surah An-Nuh that فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. So we see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously in the words of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a message to mankind that فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ, make istighfar, repent to your Rabb. Turn to Him in seeking forgiveness. And إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, He is most forgiving, of forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا, the benefit of your istighfar and seeking forgiveness from Him is that He will send torrential rains from the sky. Also, we find another ayat of the Holy Quran very relevant also to this particular topic. وَأَلَّوْ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقِيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. Again here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to the point that if they remain firm and steadfast on the straight path, then we will send for them abundant rain that will descend upon them. And also we find another ayat of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the communities or the villages or the towns or the locality, they bring iman and they adopt taqwa, that is, they stay away from disobedience of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says that we will open up the treasures of our mercies, and blessings, our blessings, we will open up the treasures of our blessings from the skies and the earth. So the blessings from the sky is obviously the rain. So from these three ayah that I recited, and of course there are many other ayahs of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a clear message that if we give up disobedience and transgression, and we engage in istighfar and seeking forgiveness, then inshallah, the blessings will descend in general, but specifically the two ayats refer to water coming down, rain coming down. لَأَسْقِيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا and يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. These two ayats specifically speak about abundance of rain that will come, because we know that the whole system of life is basically supported by the rains that come. All over the world, farmers and everyone depends on the rain for the crops to flourish, and obviously that is the food baskets of the world that produce the food for the whole of human race as well as animals. So the first factor we have mentioned, that we should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general for all sins that we may have committed, and make plenty of istighfar and tawbah, and we should make istighfar our constant zikr at times like this. Thereafter, some specific actions that have been mentioned that hold the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back. Among those specific sins that have been mentioned that hold the rains back, one is when people cheat and deceive as far as the dealings are concerned, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict them by a drought. This is clearly mentioned in the ahadith, in the narrations, that when people do not deal properly and they do not fulfill the required condition of justice when it comes to dealing, especially financial dealings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to afflict them by famine, which is obviously one aspect of a drought. There's one narration in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned five conditions that will come down. And one of the conditions he mentioned is that وَلَا نَقَصَ قَوْمٌ الْمِكْيَالِ إِلَّا ابْتُلُوا بِالسِّنِينِ. That when people do not give the full measure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict them by famine. So if we are in any way guilty of deceiving, cheating, short-changing people, then we should make very sincere tawbah from such sins and give it up immediately. Side by side with that is also the practice of withholding the payment of zakat. This is the third action that causes the holding back of the rains, and that is not paying the zakat, not doing the calculation of the zakat properly, not paying the full amount of zakat, and then not giving the zakat to the recipients, the true deserving recipients. So there are three factors here. One is not doing the calculation properly. And two is we're doing the calculation, but we're not paying the full amount. In other words, people are in arrears, Maulana, as far as zakat is concerned. If some people have a cash flow problem, then they cannot pay the zakat as a lump sum. So they choose to pay the zakat in installments, and then they get stalled in the installment. In other words, they don't pay the full zakat, and the zakat becomes a debt on them. So years are going past and they're sitting with unpaid zakat. Right? And also, the third aspect is that, yes, a person has done the calculations correctly, and secondly, he has paid the zakat off, but unfortunately, it's not been paid to the proper legitimate recipients of the zakat, the mustahiqeen, the eight classes or categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayat of the Quran. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That ayat ila akhir al-ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention specifically about who are the recipients of zakat. So those recipients are not being, those who are the true recipients are not given the zakat. So these are all various facets of non-payment or not complete or proper payment of the zakat. And again we find the narration of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it says that وَمَا مَنَعَ قَوْمٌ زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِعُوا الْقَطَرُ أو الْمَطَرُ. When people do not pay the zakat properly, they deprive the community of the proper payment of the zakat. Allah Ta'ala deprives them of His mercy and rahmah in the form of the rain that comes from the sky. So this is a very specific action that has been mentioned in the ahadith regarding the withholding of the rain is because zakat has not been paid correctly and properly, or it has not been given to the proper recipients. So the remedy for that is obviously that we should, deal properly. We should firstly make sure that we do not shortchange people. And when it comes to the issue of zakat, that we're doing the calculation of our zakat properly. We're taking into consideration all the assets, etc., that we own. And we're doing a proper valuation. And then we're paying the zakat off properly. There are people who give dead stock for zakat, Maulana, which, nobody can use. There are people who give offcuts, for example, as zakat. Who can use offcuts? And they feel that we have fulfilled our right of paying the zakat. There are people who give, for example, expired stock as zakat. People give, thin stuff, etc., and that thin stuff, for example, is expired. You cannot give that to anyone. In fact, you are endangering people's life by giving them such kinds of stuff as the zakat. And people think we have fulfilled our obligation by giving expired stock, stale stuff, dead stock. We want to give that as zakat. Then we have not paid our zakat in the first instance, though we think we paid it, but in actual fact it is not paid, it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the reason why the rain is withheld. So we should make sure that we pay our zakat correctly, the proper amount, we're giving it to the people who deserve it, then inshallah the rains will come. Then the fourth sin that has been mentioned, together with the three that were mentioned earlier on, is immorality and shamelessness and zina, especially adultery. When that becomes rife, then also people are punished in the form of the withholding of rain. So we should make a lot of istighfar from this. Those who are, indulging in these actions, those who are indulging in even those things that lead up to adultery, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protect us from these immoral actions. That we should make a lot of istighfar and tawbah from that, then insha'Allah Ta'ala we will see that the conditions will change. So these are some of the sins, and the remedy in general is istighfar, and specifically to rectify the mistakes and reform our lifestyles. And of course, one other factor which I think is very important to add to the list, Maulana, is the abuse of the ni'mat of water and be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of water, to abuse the water, to waste the water. This is something that has been strictly prohibited, and it is something that is a source of great, deprivation. As we know, the narration of Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is also narrated by Musnad Ahmad, when he was making extravagant mahas, he said, Sarif ya Sa'ad, what is this extravagance, O Sa'ad? And then he asked, Afil wuzui sarifun, is there extravagance in wuzu, or Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam walo kunta ala shatil nahr, O kama qala alayhi salam, that even if you have to be on the bank of a river and you are engaging in wasting of water, then you are guilty. so of extravagance and wastage. So this is an additional factor, maybe we could say it's the fifth thing that we should be very conscious about, that we should not waste the ni'mat of Allah in the form of water. We should be cautious how we use the water, not just to, you know, let this great resource and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be wasted. That covers those aspects, and of course, together with that, saving water, then it includes in that all water-saving techniques that you're supposed to be adopting. And lastly, before we close the program, I wanted to mention the importance of assisting people who are in drought conditions. Many people's taps have run dry. You look at Port Shepstone, is one town in the south coast. They were pumping water from the local river. I don't remember exactly the name of the river. And maybe it is the Nguavuma River or whatever river it is. And they were pumping water from upstream, say about 10 kilometers upstream. But lo and behold, when the water came out from the taps, it had 40% seawater, the salt content. So this was actually what was happening is the river itself had run dry. And whatever water was in the river was water that was coming upstream from the, you know, the river mouth of the ocean, the seawater. So obviously this caused a huge problem in Port Shepstone in particular. And now there was no... People couldn't even drink that. It was burning their throat. They couldn't drink that water. Now, suddenly people had no drinking water in their taps. And there was panic, and people were rushing to shops to buy, you know, bottled water. And Allahu Akbar, the Muslim community there, Maulana, I really am so proud when I read about how they rose to the occasion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them a source of inspiration for others around the country. And reward them and increase them and increase us all in service of humanity, that they then, you know, rallied to the call. And subhanAllah, they the Muslim shops started selling the bottled water at absolute cost. They did not even inflate the price, whereas others were actually taking advantage and inflating the price, where the water was being sold for 15 rand, for example, they started selling it for 25 rand. The Muslims were selling it 10 rand at cost, absolute cost. And not only that, but they also then, you know, opened up their pockets, and they bought, you know, thousands of liters of 5 liters of water, and they distributed free of charge to whoever wanted.
MashaAllah.
And also we find that you know, they hired tankers. And they took borehole water, and they drove with they took those tankers to various outlying areas, like, you know, some of the areas around Port Shepstone, Boboi, Murchison, and Louisiana, and so on. They went to all these neighboring localities with the tankers to make sure that the poor people in those localities also got their supply of water.
Allahu Akbar.
And they were, you know, alhamdulillah, the community rallied together there. And, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of liters were given. They covered all the schools. They covered the hospitals. They even had night shift water distribution at some of the hospitals by Muslim volunteers.
Alhamdulillah.
So, alhamdulillah, I think they really rose to the occasion. They rose to the occasion, and they did exceptionally well. Another community where, alhamdulillah, they also did excellent work like this, distributing water to the community. And it was primarily the young people, the youth, who had a very big role to play in this, was in Stenger. And there also a similar situation, drought conditions. The Muslim youngsters and other people in the community went out giving out water to all the areas where people were you know, having experiencing hardship. And then on Facebook, some of the brothers posted to me some of the comments that came. And they said, you know, it's amazing how the Muslim community are working tirelessly to provide water to different areas in Sangha, irrespective of race and religion. Thank you, guys. I am so proud of you. This was a non-Muslim sister who sent this comment on Facebook, acknowledging the excellent services rendered by the Muslim community of Sangha. Another person said, I agree, the municipality should learn from these amazing people. Now look at this, Allahu Akbar. How heartwarming and pleasing it is to see that our people have risen up and, you know, they have rallied to the call and they are, alhamdulillah, playing their part and opening their hearts and opening up their pockets, and the youngsters and all are engaged in serving. Now this is what will bring really the respect and love for the Muslim community that is so much needed. So I hope, inshallah, these examples of what the people of Port Shepstone or Sangha, and inshallah, I'm sure in many other parts of the country we are not aware of it, but yes, they are playing their part. So this is an opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In the midst of a crisis, Allah ta'ala is giving us an opportunity also to be of service to humanity and mankind. And when this opportunity presents itself, we should grab it. And I hope, inshallah, it will inspire people from other communities as well.
Inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the problems of the ummah and grant us beneficial rain. Mufti Sahib, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen, Maulana. My last appeal is that, you know, together with istighfar, everybody, young and old, especially the young children, the elderly people, we should encourage them all just to read a simple dua. If we don't know the complicated, long duas, then just read a simple dua. Allahumma sqina, Allahumma sqina, Allahumma sqina, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. If we read this, you know, after our first salah, at any time we hear about, you know, the problem, we read about it or we hear about it, just quickly make a dua. Allahumma sqina, Allahumma aghithna. Inshallah, if all engage in dua like this, it doesn't have to be at a specific time, in a specific, without raising our hands, wherever we are, and we think about the drought or we hear about it, just read Allahumma sqina, Allahumma aghithna. Carry on reading this. This is also a kind of wazifa that we should be reading, inshallah. And hopefully with the tawbah and istighfar and these dua of Allahumma sqina, Allahumma aghithna, and other duas that have been made, and the salatul istisqas that have been performed, Allah Ta'ala will bring relief.
Inshallah. Mufti Sahib, jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.